week's parsha before, in I wanted to say over Varna Parsha's Pinchas, which I forgot to mention. There's an interesting idea in parsha in the Torah where we get to the name Yisachar. There's a question for those that are Bali Kriya: how do you read that word Yisachar, Yisaschar? There's a bit of a discussion how to read it. So there are those people that have admitted the first time it appears in the Torah they read it Yisaschar, and afterwards they go back to reading Yisachar. If Salvechik had a very interesting custom, he had a custom that until Parsha's Pinchas he read it Yisaschar. It was Machbet. Achmed Gomer, that's pronounced Yisachar. Then from Pashas Pinchas onwards, it switched to Yisachar. What was of Salvechik's Svara? It was based on the Medrash in last week's Parsha. The Medrash says in last week's Parsha that Yisachar had a son, and he gave him a name. And he realized later that the name that he gave him was the name of an Avodah Zarah. So he realized he was going to change his name. So he added a Samach. He took one of the letters of his, a sin from his name, and gave it to his son. So said of Salvechik. So after Pashas Pinchas is where the Torah references the new version name. So Mikanal Haba, from going forward, then already the name is now Yisachar because he lost one of his letters. But until Pashas Pinchas of Salvechik held, you have to actually read it with Yisachar. You don't hear too many people today reading it though, throughout all of it till Yisachar. But that was clearly of Salvechik's opinion that he held that Yisachar should be read Yisachar up until Pashas Pinchas. And Mikanal Haba, he comes back to being Yisachar. In last week's Parsha, Pashas Matos, the Torah opens up with the idea of Nedarim. Nedarim is a complicated idea, but to me, the Moser Haskel behind Nedarim is the power of one's mouth. The ability for a person to speak, to talk, to relay a message through verbal ability is the power of a Neder. A person gets up and says, I'm going to ask this to me. All of a sudden, now it becomes us. Why is that? It's not really Aser. There's nothing Be'etzem Aser. There's nothing wrong with this Chavtza. The Chiddush of Nedarim is that a person has a power through his speech to be able to create a Surah. So the Torah is teaching us a very valuable lesson, which really we learned starting from the beginning. It's almost, if I had to say what's the theme of Sefer Bamidbar, I would say the theme of Sefer Bamidbar is the Koyach HaDibur, is to view the power of one's talk. And that really begins at the end of Parashas Bahaloischa, with the story of Miriam speaking Lashon Hara. Again, Lashon Hara is all verbal expression. It's not Dibur. It's verbal. And on that, we see how strong and how bad the Avera of Lashon Hara could be. And then we go on to the story of the Meraglim. That also was verbal. It was talking. What did the Meraglim do? They didn't beat anyone up. They spoke. And Kairach, what was Kairach again? Verbal, all verbal. Throughout the entire Sefer Bamidbar, it's repeated this idea of verbal ability. If a person uses his speech for good, how great it could be. But if a person uses his speech negatively, how powerful that can be as well. You know, we say when we're little kids, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt us. When we get older, we realize that's just not true. We realize that words are extremely painful. When I give a Shalom Bayis lecture, I tell them, not only are words powerful, they're more painful when it comes from someone you love, someone you care about. You know, someone at work says something hurtful is one thing. If it comes from a spouse, or someone you care about, a child, a relative, it hurts even more. So the lesson throughout the entire Sefer Bamidbar, and really the conclusion of Parshas Matos really brings home this idea, is the Koyach HaDibur. And that was the whole Chiddush when the Asan had the ability to talk. Kosh Baruch said, you think I control Dibur? It's all me. And I can make an awesome talk the same way I make you talk. And that's the whole, to me, the lesson of Sefer Bamidbar is realizing the power of Dibur. And this is a very good introduction to the 3 weeks when we know the Gemara tells us that one of the Averis that Klal Yisrael did was Sinas Chinam. Now what does that mean exactly, Sinas Chinam? They went around beating each other up? I don't think so. I don't think it was that extreme. It means they weren't so careful in how they dealt with each other. There was a certain amount of hatred. What is that? Hatred doesn't have to mean that I was mean to you and I slammed the door in your face. Hatred means I could have said things that were hurtful as well. And it could have been they weren't meant for the wrong reasons. Sometimes we're just not careful with what we say. We don't think about what comes out of our mouth. But the Torah is telling us the same way if a person slips and says, oh, I want to ask this of myself. It has serious ramifications. So the Torah is showing us that the power of one speech is extremely, extremely powerful. It could be used l'toif, but it can be used l'ra. And when it's used l'ra, it can have a very, very bad effect. That's really the idea of the whole parasha of Nedarim that the Torah is teaching us about in last week's parasha. Right after Parshas Nedarim, the Torah talks about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a command to Moshe Rabbeinu to go revenge from the Midyan. This whole tzivah is fascinating, because generally Jews don't take nekama. We have a lot in the Torah, lo yisikim. We're not allowed to take revenge. Moshe Rabbeinu gets a command from Hashem, go take revenge. Seems almost contradictory to Jewish ideology. We as Jews don't take revenge, that's not the way we were raised. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Moshe Rabbeinu a commandment, go take revenge from the Midyanim, and then he makes a condition. And by the way, after you do this, you're going to die. So Rashi tells us right away from the Medrash that this shows the gevurah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Most people, if they're told that if you do X, then you'll die, they don't do X so fast, right? So how many times it takes until we take the garbage out after our wife asks us? And that's not with the Tanai Yivachar Teyosef Alamecha. It's the opposite. If we don't take it, the garbage, then we're going to get Teyosef Alamecha, right? But the point is, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't wait. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never told Moshe Rabbeinu when to do it. He said, do it. Whenever you have a chance, make it happen. Moshe Rabbeinu went with his reasons to go do Ratz Hashem, knowing completely that this is going to be ultimately the end of his life. But the Mefarshim asked that Akash Baruch Hu gives Moshe Rabbeinu the Tzivoy, and Moshe Rabbeinu passes the buck to someone else. He gives it to Pinchas to do. I understand, Akash Baruch Hu said to you, say, you go put Nekamba. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu, thank you. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He goes and has Pinchas do it. So what's the pshat? So Chaim Shmulevitz writes in his famous piece where he talks about Akash HaTov, he says, because Moshe Rabbeinu knew, it's impossible for him to go and attack Midian. Because of all the good that Midian did for him, the Midian took him into his life, he would not be allowed to kill the Midianites. So it must be when Hashem said, you take Nekama, he didn't mean you. He meant someone else. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's understanding the Ratzon Hashem. I don't think if we would do this, we'd get such credit for it. But Moshe Rabbeinu can do this. He said that it's partial and clear to him that when Hashem said, go avenge Midian, he didn't mean you, Moshe Rabbeinu. You can't. You owe them too much. They did too much for you and you fled. So you can't go avenge them. Someone else has to. But Moshe Rabbeinu knew that because he understood the Ratzon Hashem was that this is not what he's supposed to do. Yet, when they come back from war, there's a big machloikis between Moshe Rabbeinu and the soldiers. Moshe Rabbeinu was very upset at the soldiers. Vayiktsoif, he got upset at them. He said, what happened? Why didn't you kill all the girls? You only killed the men. Why didn't you kill the girls? So the Mefarshim asks, well, what's Takab Shat? Why didn't they kill the girls? So I was thinking Pashab Shat is that Klal Yisrael as a nation, we are Rachmanim. We are not barbaric people. We are Rachmanim b'nei Rachmanim. We're very concerned and worried people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, if Moshe Rabbeinu gave them a tzivu, go kill, they killed the lowest amount of people they can kill, is who they wanted to kill. They didn't just go on one of these massacres just to destroy. They killed whoever they felt needed to be killed. They felt the girls didn't need to be killed. So why just be an achzer to be an achzer? That's not Jewish ideology. Sadly enough, now the pictures are coming out from what happened Friday night in Eretz Yisrael. It's barbaric. It's disgusting to see pools of blood on someone's kitchen floor on a Friday night. Yidden are not raised to do things like that. That's not the way we act. We don't just walk into a town and kill everyone. Except Amalek and Zainamim and whatever it is. But a stam tziva to go to war doesn't mean let's kill everyone in town. That's just not the way we were raised as Jews. We are much more Rachmanim than that. So when Moshe gave them a tziva, go out and kill, they figured to themselves, okay, we'll try to limit the amount of casualty out there. You listen to the world today, they make it sound like Israel goes out of the way to blow up schools. It's mamish lehepach. They try to limit the amount of casualty humanly possible. The Arabs don't make it much easier when they use their children as human shields. But this is really what we're doing today. We're trying to limit the amount of casualty because we're not here in the business just to kill people. That's not the way we are. But Moshe Rabbeinu had tainas on them. He said, but that's not correct over here. Here, because the purpose was an ikama from the Midian and the women were involved, you have to kill the women also. The Biskirov has a gavaldik shtickle over here in this week's parsha. Rashi says that why did he send Pinchas? Because since Pinchas started the job with the killing of Cosby, therefore Pinchas had to finish the job. So the Biskirov asks, he says, I don't understand. The killing of Cosby had nothing to do with anything. That was a din kenayim poigim boy. It's over. That story ended. The din of kenayim poigim boy is at the time when it happens. This is post the story. There's no more connection to that original story. Secondly, asks the Biskirov, he says, why was Cosby the chiddush? If you looked at the storyline, who was the bigger person to have been killed? Not the goy, was the Nasi. So Rashi should have said that he killed the Nasi. That was the bigger accomplishment of the storyline. That should have been why Pinchas got to finish the story. So the Biskirov explains the biggest side in Kenayim Poigim Boy. Biskirov has a kasha based on a Rambam. Why is it that if a Jew lives with a non-Jew, everyone gets killed? So he says, Bishlam, the Jew gets killed because Kenayim Poigim Boy. But why does the Goyi get killed? What did she do wrong? So he's medayik from a Rambam that the Goyi gets killed like an animal. When a human lives with an animal, the animal gets killed also. What did the animal do? So the Rambam writes, because you may be takal. You caused downfall to a person. Even though, again, the animal didn't exactly agree to doing this, but because you were involved in this Tayeva story, the animal gets killed. That's what's called a takala. You were maybe takala. So therefore, says the Biskirov, that same thing over here also. On the killing of the Nasi, that was Askanayim Paigimbay. That Enachanami, that already finished. On the killing of her, that was what Pinchas was finishing up. That was Als Takala. So if it was Als Takala, that's why Pinchas was still connected to the original storyline. So the Biskirov's son, Rebbe Soloveitchik, said, Lefi his father, now you can explain the Shakvataya between the Moshe Rabbeinu and the soldiers. What type of war were they sent out to do? Were they sent out to do al-Muhammad for the sake of Muhammad? Or were they sent out to just destroy all the Takalas? If it's a regular Muhammad, so there's rules for Muhammad. You don't kill all the women on Muhammad. But Moshe Rabbeinu tied it to him, this is the Lamdash war. This is not some of Muhammad. This was you're going out to remove all those takalas, all those people that were obstacles, that were bringing downfall to Klai Yisrael. They all need to be destroyed. So therefore, the women as well have to be destroyed. So it's a Lamdash Shaila, and I had to understand what type of Muhammad was. Was it a Muhammad of takala, or is it a regular Muhammad? Then the Torah talks about Tanai Garb Ne Ruven, which again, for our purposes, is a huge parsha. That's where we get all Mishpatei Tanoim from. If that story would have never happened, we would have nothing geshmak to talk about in the third parak of Kedushin. That's all Tanoim. All the sugis of Tanoim that we talk about, all the rules, Tanai Kedim Olav, and Tanai Kafel, and Master Mashikos, all that good stuff that we spoke about for quite a few weeks, that's all derived from a couple of sukkim in Parashas Matzis. But in the story of Bnei Gad Neruvin, there is something that's very, very important that the Mefarshim point out, that when Bnei Gad Neruvin make their claim to Moshe Rabbeinu, so they tell Moshe Rabbeinu, they say, we want Gidroi Soy Nivne L'miknenu Poi V'orim L'tapenu. We want to build cities for our animals and cities for our children. So what do they put first? First the animals and the business, and Agav, our kids. The Moshe Rabbeinu comes back to them, he flips it around. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, first the kids and then the business. So Rashi points out, and I have a friend discussed this at length, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching the Jewish people a very valuable lesson in priorities. Many times we put our priorities, we put our business before our children. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, no, you have to reverse it. You have to put your children first, and then your priorities. It has to go the other way around. Don't put your business before your children. And he quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says that the Bnei Gad and the Reuven were so busy helping the other Bnei Yisrael, it took them 14 years until they came back home. When they came back home, the little children were adults now, and they had long hair, and they already assimilated into non-Jewish culture. Because the parents weren't around. They were helping the other Jews. So he writes from the Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer says at the end of the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, but you have to keep your word. So the Ksav Sofer asks, why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to write that? Of course. The good Jewish people are going to keep the word. So the Ksav Sofer says, because since the Bnei Gad Neruvin put their money before their children, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't know if I can trust you guys anymore. It's like a reisa in your attitude. If that's what you value, you put your children, if you put your money before your children, I don't know if I can trust your word. I need an explicit, specific comment from you that I can trust you. So Rabbi Frank goes on to discuss, he says, this is not we think it's a new problem. This was an old problem in Klai's history, which we live to today. This idea of sometimes we put our business before our children, Bnei Gad Neruvin weren't vicious people. They were thinking to themselves, if I have more business, my children will have better lives. And that's usually the way we justify it, by saying, if I work more hours, then my kids will have a better life, and they'll be better kids, and they'll be firmer kids, and happier kids. But the idea of the Torah is, we have to realize, what's our focus? Are we focusing on our business first, or our family first? And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was giving them, subtle mussar. He was telling them, you have to make sure to put your family first, and your business second. I was just listening on the way up, on the way into the shir today, a CD about Emunah. And he quotes from Reb Chaim Palagi. Reb Chaim Palagi said that when you completely give up on something, then you'll find Hashem will give you the salvation. Reb Chaim Palagi says, once a person comes to the Kohen, it's not happening, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it happen. I go, I had a story with my wife, she lost a ring, and we completely were miyash. We said, there's no way we're going to find it, and kachav, we found it. So I was thinking, that's what happened with the sheets over. I made it very clear that we're never getting photocopies of today's shir. I'm out from the yash, belief shalom, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mekayimit. He found a shliach to come and make photocopies. So it's mamish true, what Reb Chaim Palagi writes, that if a person is completely accepts the Ratzon Hashem, whether he understands it or not, especially over here where it's negated to Talmud Torah, the Rabbim, it's very hard to believe why Hashem wouldn't want people to learn Torah. But in any case, maybe the Torah that I put down is not Emes, I don't know. It's not my own Torah, it's other people's Torah. But maybe, whatever the reason was, because Baruch Hu Mamish made it happen that we were able to have the photocopy so we can learn. We are about to enter the 9 days. It's Kedai just to chaz over the famous line from the Aruch HaShulchan. There's an Aruch HaShulchan who talks about that people kvetch that they can't eat meat and drink wine for 9 days. He writes, he says, I don't understand. He says, there are nations of the world that go a lot longer than 9 days without eating specific things. Now, if you think about it, it's not even 9 days anymore. Right? It's already, we have Shabbos, and today we have Siyumim, and people run for Siyumim, and chase down for Siyumim. People don't learn a whole year. They just learn so they can make a Siyum during the 9 days. So he writes, this is not correct. We should realize. He really writes to Aruch HaShulchan, and he says that what you should really do is learn during the 9 days, and make the Siyum after Tisha B'Av. So this way you can make the Simcha, the Siyum B'Simcha Rabbah. Go tell it to your friends and family that you just finished the Masechta, but you're making the Siyum after Tisha B'Av. They'll be like, what a waste. What are we going to do with that? The reason why we talk and make Siyumim, so the Ger Rebbe said once, the Pshat is because we want to be Marba Achla V'Reis. You make a Siyum, you invite all these people that you don't really know, they don't really like you that much, they're only coming because they can eat free meat, and you come and you're Mishtatev together. So he says, that's the idea of the 9 days. We're trying to be Mishtatev together. But I think the words of the Aruch HaShulchan are very powerful. You know, many people go through these days and the Pashtun don't know what to do. They can't eat meat, they can't drink wine, they can't do this, and they're all like lost, and like the world is terrible. It's not so long. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, but we should think about what we're doing. We're not just doing it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sadistic. We're doing it because it was a major casualty that happened to the Jewish nation, which we're still feeling today. Open up the Jewish news and you'll see that we're still feeling it today, every day. The pain and suffering that we go through as a nation, as individuals and as collective as a nation, is because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we don't have HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that type of relationship that we should, and that's why we're suffering, and that's why we're mourning, and we should think about it. And he says, like the Gemara tells us, if we'll zeicha to properly partake in the avelus of it, Mitzvah Shem, we should be zeicha to see the Nechama as well. Okay, we're holding over here in a new Gemara. a new sugya, really. The Gemara starts off like this in Gitnayim Ches. This is really the next stuk of Gemara from we left off last week. Zok the Gemara, Amar Rava. Kosov laget v'nosem b'yad avdo. What would happen if a person writes a get and he puts it in the hand of the Isha's Eved? Okay, the Isha owns an Eved before, however she owned it, not for our conversation, but the Isha owns an Eved. It's her property. So the husband writes a get and he puts the get into the Isha's Eved. It's her Eved. Zok the Gemara, Yoshon, if the Eved happens to be sleeping, umisham rasoy, and she's guarding it, harayz a get, that would be a good get. Near, if the Eved is awake, ain't a get. Then the get is not a chal. Why? Because it's a chatzar that's being watched without the wife's das. Who's controlling the movement of this Eved? It's not the Isha. The Eved's awake. He can do whatever he wants. He can get up, he can leave, he can jump around. So she's not the one who's mishtamel adaita. So believe me, we need to talk more about what exactly this means, chatzar mishtamel shalodaita. For today's show, I want to talk about the next line of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Yoshon, umisham rasay. Let's say the Eved's asleep, and the husband comes and tucks the get in the Eved's pocket. So I think my raise a get. That is a good get. Why? Because since the Eved's asleep, so the one who's watching, guarding the Eved is, so to say, the Isha. So that's a good get. Frankly, we have a bigger problem. Am I? Why is this a good get? Chotzer mahalechasi. This is a chotzer mahalechas. This is a moving chotzer. The chotzer mahalechas loikana. Rava makes a statement. A moving chotzer is not kaini. Okay, we're going to get to that in a second. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us who told Rava that a moving chatzah is not a good chatzah. Just Rava made this up, that a moving chatzah, again, this is all Rava. These are not Mishnayis yet, we'll see later on, there are Mishnayis, but this is just Rava talking and understanding things, that a moving chatzah is not a good chatzah.
What's the definition of a moving chatzah?
So we're going to have to see that today as well, what exactly constitutes moving, but the Gemara thinks at this point, a sleeping Eved is also considered a moving Eved. So frankly, the Gemara, v'chitema yoshan shani, but what he taught me, he's sleeping, he's not moving. But Rava himself said, if anyone who he would be moving would be no good, even if he's sitting, it's no good. Let's say the Eved's standing still for a second. He's not moving. There's still a chatz malach. Because why? Because he has the ability to be a mahalach. He could go. And for the Gemara, the Hilchasa b'kafos. So what are we talking about, Zakti Gemara? We're talking about a case where the Eved is chained up. Now, we have to talk about a different shear. Does he need to be chained and sleeping? Or just chained without sleeping? Because again, the way the Gemara is set up, it seems like there's two issues. There's Mishameres, and there's Mahalachas. So if you tie him up, he's not a Mahalachas anymore. But is he still considered a Mishameres? He's awake. He's watching his own body. Oh, believe me, we'll have to talk about that at a different time. But what's negated to our Gemara is, the Gemara seems to make a distinction between if you're physically able to move, versus unable to move because you're tied up. Now, obviously, even someone who's tied up could eventually get freed. He can either break out or someone will untie him. But that's not deemed the same thing as sleeping. Sleeping, even though the matzif sleeping, I would have thought, is the same thing as being tied up. Sleeping, he's not going anywhere. He's asleep. The answer is because he could wake up, he can move. So he has the ability to be a mahalach, and therefore he's called a mahalach.
If Eved has a status of karka, why isn't this?
So that's what we need to talk about. We need to talk about how this all working. That's what that right. So the Gemara makes a comment that a chatzah mahalach is loikana. A moving chatzah is not kaina. Now, what does that mean to be a moving chatzah? So we'll see in a few minutes. The Gemara Bava Metzia talks about various scenarios. One classic example would be, let's say, an animal. An animal's moving. What about a boat? The Gemara's going to talk about Metzia about a boat. Later, Achareim talk about, what about a car? What's a car considered? Let's say, for example, a guy has a car and someone dropped an object in his car and the person was miayish. Can he be kaina kinyu chatzah in his car? They talk about it more in a taxi. It's more in a gay in Eretz Yisrael. Taxis, where from people coming in and out all the time, and the guy left something in there, and now it's a shayla of hefker. You want to be kain in your chatzar. Can you be kain? Is that a chatzar mahalachas? The car is moving. It's very much moving. Now, the car only moves with your control. It doesn't move on its own. It's not like an animal. It's not like a behemoth. You got to push the gas for it to go. But it could move. Well, at least as of now. We'll see in the future, maybe it'll be different. Okay, so that's what we need to talk about a little bit for today. How do we understand what's, first of all, what makes something a chatzam halachas? And the more lomdish shaila is, what's exactly wrong with a chatzam halachas? Why is chatzam halachas like kana? Who told Rava? Where does it say anywhere in the Torah that a chatzar has to be stationary? How do we know? So Rashi says over here by us, in number two, in Gittin, Rashi says, hareze get, dahavi hachatzah hamishtemez ledaitoi. If the Eved's sleeping, so the chatzah is being guarded by her knowledge. Since he's sleeping, so it sounds like from Rashi, the problem of a chatzah mishtemeres means she has to be the sole controller. There can't be anyone else involved. It can't be that we're both watching. That's not sufficient. It's got to be that it's solely from the Isha. And if the husband were to be awake, and he'd be nudging in his das, that would be a problem. Okay, chatzah mishtemeres we need to talk still more about. But let's see now a Gemara in Bav Metzia. The Gemara in Bava Metzia is really, so to say, the source of this whole halacha of Rava. The Gemara in Bamasi number 3 is the Gemara in Daf Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara is talking about a case where a guy wants to be kind of metaltalin with an animal. Okay, I want to sell you metaltalin. So the way I want to be machdi the metaltalin is I'll give you the metaltalin on top of your animal. I'll pile it up on your animal, and you'll be kind of it through your behemoth. So that sounds like to us you'd be kind of with kinyan chatzar. Your animal is your chatzar. I'll put the kalim in your on your animal and be kinyan chatzar. So the Gemara has a whole shayla. The Gemara said this. The Gemara says, if a person wants to sell animal and kalim, is he kind of the kalim? Chatzim alachasi. That's considered a chatzim alachas. The chatzim alachas loy kana. So the Gemara right away assumes an animal is a chatzim alachas. It moves. Animals move. They have somewhat of an ability to move on their own. Yeah, obviously if you hit an animal, it moves quicker or more. But the Gemara thinks that an animal is called a chatzim alachas. If you look on the bottom on page six, on number 16, David Pavarsky asks the following kash. He says, I don't understand the Gemara in Bamitzir. We already learned in the Gemara in Gittin that an Eved is considered a Chatzim HaLachas. Right, so we already learned the Halacha of Chatzim HaLachas. Why would I have thought that it's any different when it comes to Behemah? Would I have thought there's a difference between an animal and an Eved?
Sure.
Why?
Eved is
Das. Ah, so he writes over in number 16, and if David Pavarsky Shurim, he writes, V'nira, Dehim Sarva, the Dafka Gabi Eved, Shaychasar, and the Chatzim HaLachas. The Gemara had a real Havamina that the din of Chatzim HaLachas would only be a problem by an Eved. Like the Gemara by us in Gittin. Why? The Kevin Shu Adam Sheish Das, since he goes on his own will. He moves not just because physically he could move, he moves because he consciously decides to move. So when he looks at the master, he's moving because he can do whatever he wants. But an animal doesn't really go on its own. Again, that's not really true either. Animals do have
right.
They don't have das, but they could decide that they want to move. They could decide they don't want to move. And when you'll hit them, they'll decide that they want to move because they don't want to get hit. He writes, then maybe it's not a chatzim halachas. So he's saying a svar over here that I would have thought that the ganze chasar and the chatzim halachas would only be by someone who has conscious decision or has the ability to decide to go or not to go. That's a chatzim halachas. Chatzim halachas is not defined by physical ability, but decided by some form of das to decide I want to move. Now, I'm not really sure how this fits in with the various pshatim we're going to see today about how to understand the chatzim halachas. But I think it's at least worth mentioning this chiluk that he wants to make between a moving person and an animal. A moving person who can decide to go, that's already chatzim halachas, as opposed to an animal that doesn't do it on his own. Okay, we'll have to come back to that when we see the svaras. So the Gemara says, so what do you do with this animal? It's a chatzim halachas. So like the Gemara, v'chitei mekisha amda, maybe the animal's standing. So like the Gemara, no. V'akol she'ilu ma'alach le'kana, oimid v'yoshav le'kana. The same thing the Gemara said about us in Gittin. The Gemara got it from this Gemara. That any person that if it could move, even when it's standing, is not kainah. So here also. So the Gemara of the Hilchos of the Kafasa. You're right. We're talking about a case where the animal is tied up. So if the animal is tied up, so then the animal is not moving. So it's not a problem of a chatzim halachas. Okay. So that's seemingly the end of the sugya. Then the Gemara goes a little further. Omalei Repapa of Ravuna Brezi Vishul Ravu. Now they come and they ask Rava the following kash. Elamiyato, if you are Rava, are right. There's such a chassarin called a chatzim halachas, and the only way to fix the chatzim halachas is by tying it up, whether it be an animal or a slave. Elamiyato, hayim halach besvinu kov tzedogim. Let's say you're going out one day in your boat, and fish jump into your boat. In fact, the Gemara, v'nafle teich hasvinu, hachanami, the chatzim halachas, you wouldn't be allowed to be kind of those fish. If those fish jump out of the ocean into your boat, you don't even have to work hard to get them. They're not going to jump into your boat. The boat, like the Gemara, is a chatzim halachas. You shouldn't be carrying the fish. Now the kasha is, what's the obvious kasha? Maybe in a chanai. Maybe he's not carrying the fish. Does it say anywhere in a Mishnah somewhere that when a guy's fishing on a boat and the fish jump into the boat, he's carrying it? Maybe not. Prove me otherwise. You're asking me a kasha on a scenario that maybe in a chanai. Is there a Mishnah somewhere in Shas that says unlike this idea? What's the big kasha in Rav? You're asking in Rav, according to you, X and Y come out. Okay, so X and Y come out. What's the big kasha? So the Tosfos over there in Bamitzir speaks out that this was a kasha misvar. We have no Mishnah to back it up. We have no proof otherwise. But it can't be. It can't be that if a guy has a boat and he's on his boat and the boat is not tied up, that the fish is not kind of to him.
You're on a boat or in a car. You're moving with
him. We're going to get to that. We're going to tell you in a second. That's going to be the Gemara's answer. We'll see in a second the differentiation between what's really moving. But at this point in the Gemara, I would have answered to Ravo. Ravo would have said, Elachanami. A guy's fishing on his boat and the fish jump into the boat. He's not carrying the fish. He'll make a mashiach on the fish, whatever. He'll have to grab them, kill them, whatever he'll do to them. But Enachlami, Chatzim Alech, means Loikana. So Taisu speaks out, this is a Kasha Misvar. Enachlami, there's no Mishnah in Shas that says otherwise. So that's the Gemara's Kasha. So what's the Gemara answer? Amalei, Svina Meinich Naichi, Umaya Huduka Mamtila. So that's the Gemara, an interesting idea. Boats don't really move. The water moves. The boat stays in place. The water moves the boat from point one to point A to point B. So Enachlami, the boat is physically not where it started. We all know that. But the boat itself doesn't move. It's stationary. Everything around it moves. Okay, now, Why should that matter? I don't know yet. Who cares? The mice, if the boat wasn't where it is, that's what Achrayim talking about. Today, that's not like that anymore. Right. Today, you control your boat. The Birchas Avraham, Rav Metlinger talks about this in the Sefer on Maseches Bava Metzias. What are you talking about today? That's not the way it works. First of all, he says some of them are not like that anyways. You know, sometimes that's part of the shadow with the car. Right? By the car, who's controlling the car? You know, how exactly is it working? But that's the question. They talk about that also, right? You have that also. You can somehow control the movement of the boat. But that's the Gemara's answer. So the Gemara says, 1 second. If this is correct, let's go back to our Gemara, our Mishnah in Gittin that we learned a while back. It says the lady's walking with Shisarabim. Let's say you throw the get into a basket. She's holding a basket of fruit. The husband chucks the get into the basket. So halacha is she's divorced. What are you going to tell me? How can you be Chaliz Gershin? It's a Chatzar Malachas. It's moving. Now, here's a little interesting.
Is that even Chatzar if it's on her body?
That's what we need to talk about. So the Gemara asks from Chekai and Kalosa. Chekai and Kalosa are very different. Kalosa is a basket. Chekai is her. So we'll have to see if Kivega has a cash. We'll get to that hopefully in a few minutes. Now, this at least is a Mishnah. Now, the Gemara did something which is a little tricky. The Mishnah never said anything about Chalisa Mahalachas Mishnah's Rabbim. If you look up that Mishnah that the Gemara quotes, we learned together, it doesn't say anything that she's in the Mishnah's Rabbim. It says she's in her house, and the husband throws again into her basket. It doesn't say anything where she is in Mishnah's Rabbim. So I would have told you that Mishnah that says that you can throw it into her basket is talking about where the basket's sitting on the holding onto it, and it's not, she's not moving. So it's the basket's sitting on the ground. How do you know she's moving, holding a basket? Who told you? So Taisus also talks about this Shaila. He says, it's a daichik to say we're talking about a case with the basket or the isha's tied and no one's moving. It sounds like she's moving with the basket and the basket's moving. So Gemara gives the same answer. Gemara gives the same answer. The basket's not moving. The woman's moving. So therefore, it's the same thing as the boat. Now, why would I have thought the boat is different than the isha? What was this pashut cheshbon in the Gemara? The Gemara said, when it comes to a boat, the boat's not moving, the water's moving. Yeah, when it comes to baskets, anyone who's really going to think the basket's moving, not the woman? What was the shayla of the Gemara? It seems like the Gemara kind of like asked the shayla just to give the answer. The Gemara had this new idea, that things are physically moving, but they're not halachically moving. And the Gemara's example was a boat. Now, Zog the Gemara, what about a basket? Oh, a basket's the same thing. What was the shayla of the Gemara? So if you look over here in number 14, the Ritva asks this kasha, and he writes, Pirush, V'loidom yehad l'svinei shalmayim. The Parish Rava. The Havamina of the Gemara was that a basket is not like a boat on water. Why? The woman consciously decided to move. So many Achrenim don't really understand what's the Ritva's answer. Ritva's trying to explain why would I have thought that if this Lomdus is correct, that a boat on water, the boat's not moving, the water's moving, why would a lady carrying a basket be a different Lomdus? So the way the Ritva says it is because at the end of the day, the water is no one's controlling the water. It's natural. So therefore, you would say that the water is really the one moving it. Mashenka over here, by the lady, the basket's controlled by the lady. So you would have thought that even though the basket's, again, the basket's not moving, it's still physically in the same place, but because the lady's constantly deciding to move, that would give it a different halach. And the Achrayim say they don't understand why. What's pshat in this ritva? A little hard to understand. What's more hard to understand, I think, is what's the svar of the Gemara, that maya svina menichnaichi or maya hudu kamamtila. What's the Gemara's answer? Boats don't move. Of course they move. They ended up in point one, and now they're somewhere else. Of course they moved. If boats didn't move, people spend a lot of money to go on a cruise. Yeah, you move. You go from one place to the other. So maybe it's physically not moving on its own kayak, but it's being moved. It's a chatz. You're not going to say this is not a movable object. It's a chatz malachas. Why is it not deemed a chatz malachas? So the Ramban writes in number 15, the Ramban writes, Upariki, Amri, Ono chatz malachas, Akani, malachas, me'atzmoy, Avalocho, Shokul, Maya, me'hocho, Ve'ena, malachas. He says, I'll prove to you it's not really moving. Because if you take away the water, boats don't go anywhere without water. You take away a basket, it doesn't go anywhere. So etzem is not moving. It's being pushed by something else. So the Ramban is saying that the definition of a chatzim alechas is not just that it can move. A lot of things can move. You kick things, they move. You push things, they move. Chatzim alechas means that it could move on its own ability.
So it would be the same thing as on a trailer. In other words, it's not in the water. I have correct. A boat in the back of my car
exactly.
And a trailer
right.
Going up to the mountain.
Right, so that would be fine. That would be, same thing. Exactly, that's the way we look at it. That's how the Ramban learns it. The kasha that the Achrayim have on this Ramban is, again, if there's some chasaron called it moving, lemaisa it's moving. Lomdus ahi, lomdus aher, why it's moving, what's causing it, lemaisa it's not at the same point. So what we really need to figure out now is what's wrong with the chatzim halachas.
There's three definitions of movement. There's
yes.
Moving with das,
correct.
Person, there's animal movement. And there's a movement of a boat, of inanimate objects. I mean, you define them differently.
So that's what we need to figure out now. We need to figure out it would probably help us if we knew why Chatz Malachas is Laikana, and then we could kind of figure out what's going on over there. So let's try to figure out, why is the Chatz Malachas Laikana? This is seemingly a big machlokes b'shanim. Rashi in Bava Metzia number 4.
But why is the regular Chatz Laikana?
So regular Chatz was a drasha. It says in the pasuk by get, it says yadoi. So the Gemara says, how do I know anything else besides for hands? So the Gemara says, we learn from a drasha to include other things besides for her hand. Gagai chatzeir v'kafifo tamalayim v'nosan. So it's a drasha that you can put it anywhere.
If you learn like the ketos, we're comparing halachos of kinyan.
Yeah, that's a big problem. Now the truth is, there is another Gemara where the Gemara does talk about kinyan chatzeir by gneiva. That was the first Gemara in Azairit. But the Gemara said there's two places where the Torah talks about kinyan chatzeir. One is by gneiva. And one is by Gittin. So the way we learned the Gemara like Tiktois, that's why you need two Psukim, because one's a whole different lomdus. So let's see Rashi. Rashi in Bamitzia Daf Tes writes like this. V'hachatza mahalechasi, abehema z'chatza mahalechas, v'chatza mahalechas lo shamin on the tikni. We never heard anywhere that a chatza mahalechas has the ability to be kaina. When we learn from the pasuk, that's the pasuk by Geneva. If you find it in the hand of a ganif. So the Gemara says, what happens if you don't find it on the ganif's hand? You find it in his backyard. So what makes the drasha? Gaga chatzeir v'kafifa is raboy. We include a roof and a backyard. Those are all things that what deloy nayid. They're all things that don't move. V'havei mishtamer, and they're also protected. So Rashi sounds like that the chesaron to a chatzim aleches is you can't control it. Things that moving you can't control. Things that are on the move or have the ability to move you can't guard it. So in Cain, the reason why a chatzim aleches is no good is because it's really a fancy version of a chatzir she'ena mishtameres. It's not guarded. So because it's not guarded, that's why the chatzer is no good. That's what it would sound like from the words of Rashi. That the reason why a chatzer that moves is no good is because the whole ribuy hakra of chatzer is only a chatzer that's mishtamer. And this is not mishtamer. The Me'iri in Baba Kama, Daf Yud Beis, says it in Mefurish. If you look at the Me'iri in Baba Kama, this Gemara comes up in three places. At least three places. It comes up in Gittin, it comes up in Gittin, Daf Chaf Aleph, it comes up in Bava Metzia, it comes up in Baba Kama, Daf Yud Beis. So over there in Baba Kama, Daf Yud Beis, the Me'iri writes like this. Masha bi'arnu shechotza ha-malechaz le'kona. Why is a chotza ha-malechaz not kona? Mishum shechotza she'ene mishtamerisu. Because it's not guarded. Sheko ma-halechaz e'ene mishtameris. Because anything that's on the move can't be guarded, by definition. That's why many poiskim don't bring down the din of chatz malachas, because they already brought it down, the chatz mishtameres. It goes hand in hand. Once you talk about a chatz mishtameres, so then you already talked about a chatz malachas, and there's no reason to bring it down two times. That's the way the Me'iri learns. Okay, good. That's the problem. The problem is we're going to see that sometimes you could be mishtameret. Let's say the boat. You're standing on the boat. You're guarding the boat. You're watching the boat, you're guarding the boat. So the stipler asks this cash and others ask this cash, they say, yeah, for now you are, but you can jump off the boat also. It's not independently mishtamer, it's mishtamer by a matzif that we're in right now.
So what, when you have a chatz mishtamer, it means you need 24/7 surveillance?
It means the ability to give it 24/7 surveillance.
So here you also have the ability.
Yeah, you could watch it, but technically you don't really, your watching is not directly connected to the boat. Because again, you can be removed from the boat. As opposed to chatzah, you put up a gate.
But if that's the time you give it, shouldn't that be?
Yeah, that's what we have to see. We'll try to talk more about this when we see other pshatim. But that seems to be the words of Rashi. Now, there's a Rashi in Baba Kama that seems to make a problem with this. If you look at number 6, Rashi in Baba Kama, when he talks about chatzah malachas, he writes, Eina koina lebailam klum, the lav chatzah hi b'mahalachas. It's nishkin chatzah when it's mahalachas. Why does it seem to be a problem? Because there's a famous piece of Reb Chaim that we spoke about in passing. Reb Chaim declares the following chakir. Reb Chaim wants to know, if you have a chatzer mahalachas, is the pshat that it's bechlal not a chatzer? It's not an extension of your yad? Or it's a chatzer? It lacks the ability to be kaina, but it's still called your rishos. So you'll ask, what nafkimina does it make? So there's a machloekes Rambam and Rashba. Machloekes Rambam and Rashba was talking about a case where the husband puts the get in the hand of the isha's eved, but the isha is a mahalachas. The eved's moving. So it's a possible like a chatzer. So the question is, what happens next to make this get work? So the Rambam says if the Eved would then give the get to the Isha is divorced. Frek the Rashba, what are you talking about? That's Kli Gidech Magai Bekarka. If you put the get into the hand of a non-existing Chatzar, that's the same thing as putting the get in the middle of the street. If you put the get in the middle of the street and the Isha comes to take it, that's Kli Gidech Magai Bekarka. That was the Rashba's kash on the Rambam. So Reb Chaim explained that pshat in the Rambam is that the Rambam and the Rashba are arguing about this Chakir. What's wrong with a chatzim halachas? Is the pshat that a chatzim halachas is a chatzim nisht? It's not a chatzim. It's not what the Torah calls chatzim. So when you put this get into the hand of her head who's moving, it's the same thing as if you put the get in the middle of the street. That's not a rishus. That's not biyoda. It's not rishus of the Torah. While the Rambam learned, says Reb Chaim, not like that. The Rambam learned that the same way you can have a hand that's not kaina, it's still your hand, but it's not kaina because it's lacking X and Y chesreinus. That's the same thing with a chatzim halechet. Chatzim halechet is avadavis, it's yours. If I put something in a chatzim halechet, that's my rishos. My evidence is my rishos. That's called biyod. I can't be kaina because there's X and Y rules of what you need to be kaina. Aber zogt Reb Chaim, it's enough of biyodo to say it's not kligi dechamei agar bekarka. That's how Reb Chaim learned the machloek is Rambam and Rashi. So Reb Chaim says, so this Rashi Bar Metzia is where he got his Yisoid from. Rashi Bar Metzia is mashma, that what? That chotzer ma'alech is lo yishaminan detikni. It's not that it's not a chotzer. Avada chotzer ma'alech is called a chotzer. It's just that it doesn't have the ability to be kaina. Rashi's meduyik according to Reb Chaim. That it's not, it doesn't have the ability to be kaina. So if it doesn't have the ability to be kaina, it's still called rishusa. It's still considered I put the get in her rishus. So this is where Reb Chaim says, from this Rashi you see, and Rashi learned that the chesaron of chatzim alech is a chesaron in kinyan, not a chesaron in the actual ability to be a chatzim. However, this Rashi Bava Kama seems to be a steer to that Reb Chaim. This Rashi sounds like eina kaina lebailam klum. The lav chatzim he b'malaches. It sounds like it's b'chalal not a chatzim. Not like the way Reb Chaim said in the first Rashi, it's a chatzim or it's just not kaina. It sounds like it's b'chalal not a chatzim. It's not a chatzim at all. Now the easy way around the steer in Rashi is to say not like Reb Chaim. If you say not like Reb Chaim, the two Rashi's are beautiful. Rashi is saying that when you have a chotzer that's mahalachas, it's not a chotzer at all. Zero. Not only not to be koina, it doesn't even have a shame chotzer. Then the two Rashi's are beautiful. But if you assume like Reb Chaim, the second Rashi Baba Kama is a little hard to read. When Rashi says, the lav chotzer here, it's not tzvshah, it's not a chotzer. Rashi shows it is a chotzer. Because if it wouldn't be a chotzer, it wouldn't be considered an asam biyada. So that's why this Rashi is somewhat troubling to the way Reb Chaim learned Rashi.
Between and regular kinyana.
Now the Gemara over there in Baba Kama, Rashi talking about by regular mamnas. Baba Kama number 4 is by Bar Metzia also. They're all Bar Metzia. So it's a little harder to read Reb Chaim into the Rashi Baba Kama. The Rashi in Bar Metzia I think reads very nicely according to Reb Chaim, but the Rashi in Baba Kama is a little harder to kvetch Reb Chaim's insight. But if we assume the way Reb Chaim learned Rashi, and it's pretty clear in the Meiri that what's wrong with the Chatzim Alechas is it's not protected. Therefore, according to Reb Chaim, a chotzer maleches is not kaina, but it still has a shame chotzer. There's another mahalach in Rishonim, how to learn a chotzer maleches. And that's Taisvis in the Rosh and Bar Metzia. Taisvis and Bar Metzia starts off with a kasha. He fracked the kasha number 7, he says, Afal gav, the perakam of the Kedushin, Amin, the Talmud Chochem, Rechev, kemahalach tami. Taisvis asks the kasha from an interesting Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin has a whole shayla if you're standing outside and a rabbi comes by on a horse. So you have to stand up for him. What's he considered? He's sitting on the horse, but he's moving. So what's his status? Is he moving? Is he walking? You don't stand up for people that are walking. He's moving. Or do we still like he's considered sitting? Reichiv kemahalach dam yenat. So fraktei sakasha, I don't understand. Why is it any different than the boat on the water? Boat on the water, you told me that svina meinich nechi. You told me the boat is sitting and everything else is moving. So the rabbi on the horse should be considered sitting. He writes over the afalgav, the amir the talmud chacham reichiv kemahalach dam. We say that no, that when you're sitting on a horse and the horse is moving, you're considered moving. So fractis, why are you considered moving and the boat's not considered moving? Why is it any different? Same scenario. You're on water, the boat's moving. You're on a horse, and the horse is moving. And the Gemara says, when it comes to Talmud Chacham, that's considered mahalach. Why don't we say the same thing for a boat? That's Taisvis's cash. David Pivarsky has a piece where he thinks that the chalal, apples and oranges over here, there's some old shaykhs to each other. One's not totally in a shame, maisa hanoch, or being a mahalach. One's told if he's walking in front of you, he's passing in front of you. Okay, he has a way of answering Taisvis's cash. But what Taisvis answers is what we need. So Taisvis, hocha chotzer mishum yodo israboy. So Taisus, Chotzer is different. Why? Because the whole Mikar of Chotzer is learned out from the Pasuk Yadoi. That's where we get the whole Kinyan Chotzer from. And therefore it's considered comparable to Yad. The main Nechnaichi, because a hand is considered resting. Umamtile im gufe. And its body moves and the hand moves with it. So Taisus has two massive Chedushim in this one line. The first Chedush in Taisus is that the reason why Chotzer Malachas is no good because it's not Daimer. To chotzer, it's not daimet yad. Where do we learn kinyan chotzer from? The whole kinyan chotzer is from a pasuk. It says in the Torah, "In the eliyodoi, I only know your hand. How do I include other things?" So the Gemara says a drasha. So the Gemara says that chotzer has to be daimet yad, just like your hands are taisus. Your hand doesn't move. Your hand doesn't go anywhere. We're gonna get to that. We're gonna get to that in a second. What?
The hand moves with you.
That's Taisus's answer. Taisus is saying your hand doesn't move independently. Your hand moves. No, Taisus says your body moves. Your hand just gets schlepped along with it. It's like the boat. So in Taisus's analogy, Taisus compares our hands to the boat. That really the body is moving, and the hand is along for the ride. So therefore says Taisus, that's why a hand is kaina. The reason why a hand is kainah is because it's considered, it's like, it's chotzer. Chotzer has to be done with the yad, and therefore zoktaisis, that's the type of chotzer that works. So according to the Tosis, it comes out that the reason why chotzer is kainah is because it has to be done with the yad. Now, if so, zoktaisis, so this is not comparable to other places in Shas. This is only here. When I look at the kinyan of chotzer, and I ask myself, what type of chotzer is good? So the answer is a chotzer that looks like yad. What does yad look like? Yeah, well, yad looks like not moving, being slept by something else. Oh, so that's what a chatzur is. Chatzur is a boat that's not moving, being slept by something else. Adkan Tosfos. If you look in the Rosh and Gittin, the Bayos number 8, the Rosh elaborates a little bit more. He writes, Ela b'hochi talya milsa. The be'inon deloy lahavi chatzur mahalechas. We don't want it to be a chatzur mahalechas. Why? Mishum de dum yod de yod de be'inon. We need chatzur to mimic yad. The main echnayich, which once again, what's a yad zoktaisus and the rush? A yad is in a state of rest. The gavra kamamtila, and the person is what's moving. Hilkach beinan dover denayich tamid. We need to have a metzias for chatzur. It has to be a person or a thing that's constantly in rest. Vole yishtana leitim. It doesn't change. Benkushu yoshan, benkushu ar, benkushu mhalach, benkushu emid. Yoshiv, why? Mishum gzeris hakosefu. Zok the rush, it's gzeris hakosef. Avol, the Hadivin Mishtameris, that's different. So the Rosh makes a distinction between a Chatzim Mahalechetz and a Chatzim Mishtameris. Chatzim Mahalechetz, Zakhtar Rosh, Exerza Kassel. Don't ask me kashas. The rules are, whatever is a Yad. The way we learn that Kinyan Chatzir is Daimit Yad. Whatever we find by Yad, we find by Chatzir. And the way a Yad works, Zakhtar Yisvis, is a Yad doesn't move. Yad doesn't move, the body moves. That's the way Taisvis sets up the Sugya and the Rosh.
Why is that different than the boat, according to this?
It's not, that's why it's good.
No, a boat should always be kinder.
Right.
Right, and over here, what are we saying?
Boat's good.
Boat's good. All right. That's the Gemara Kasha. The Gemara says, how does the boat work? The Gemara says, the boat's okay because the boat's not really moving. So Zoktai says, yeah. Why? Why? What's the lumness over there? The lumness over there is that to be a good chotzer, you have to be a non-moving thing. What do you mean? But it is moving. It's moving. Oh, it's not really moving. Something else is schlepping it. Zoktai says, where do you learn that from? From Yad. If you look in a hand never moves. So Ramban asks, what are you talking about? A hand moves all the time. Right. I'm sitting right here and my hand is moving. Right? That's the Ramban's Kasha. And Ban says, what are you talking about? A hand doesn't move. Of course it does. You can be sitting and your hand is still moving.
You know, I don't see the comparison by the boat or by the water. So you have two objects. You have the water, you have the boat.
Right.
The woman, you have the bath.
Right.
How is the arm separate from the goof? It's one...
Okay, that's Reb Kveger. We're going to get to that in a second. That's how Reb Kveger learns the sugya. But the way Tosfos and the Rosh are very clear. I think there's no mistake over here that according to Tosfos, the reason why Chatzar needs to be non-moving is because Daim Liyad. And he has another Chiddush that your Yad is not really moving. The other Rishayim also really told me your Yad is not moving. You can't get more moving than your Yad. He says, no, your Yad's not really moving. Your body's moving, your Yad's slumping it along. That's the way they want to say it. So Zok Yibchaim, in the same piece says, according to Tosfos, how does it come out? What's wrong with the Chatzim HaLechis? Zok Yibchaim, a Chatzim HaLechis, b'chlak in Chatzim Nisht. It's not comparable to Chatzim of the Torah. So Reb Chaim says that this Tosfos would tell you, like the Rashba, that if you were to put the get into the Chatzim HaLechis of an Isha, that would present the problem of Pligi Dechamei Agave Karko. That's not Harishos. That's b'chlam, not an extension of the Torah's Chatzim. As opposed to Rashi, a chatzim halachas is a chatzim, although it's not kaine, it's still considered harishus, and it wouldn't be a problem of fligi dechmei agave karka. That's the way Reb Chaim sets up the sugyo according to the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos Beis. The Mefarshim say, what would be enough kamina between Rashi and Tosfos? Let's say the husband's being mishtamer. Let's say you have your animal and you're guarding the animal. You bring the animal and you guard it. You don't tie it. But you're standing by the animal guarding it on your property. It's a fence with walls, and the animal's standing on, and you're standing next to the animal. And then you want to be kaine with the animal. So according to Rashi, that's pretty mishtamer. That's pretty guarded. According to Tosfos, it doesn't matter. Lamaisa can move. It's mahalachas. So they want to suggest that an afkamina between Rashi and Tosfos would be in a case where you're guarding your animal.
Well, is mahalachas the sarn in mishtamer? Is the key point that it has to be mishtamer?
According to Rashi, yes.
Mahalachas is not.
That's the way Rashi learns. As opposed to Tosfos, it learns mahalachas independently a chasarin that makes it not doimit to yat. So it comes along with Kiveger and Mishar Shashasa, Gavadik Kiveger. Kiveger asks on Tosfos, he says, what's going on over here? He says, one second. Tosfos just told us that your hand doesn't move, your body moves. So, one second. Tamuli, the imkain, haguf atzbe mirki mahalach. So, Tosfos himself just told us that the hand doesn't move, but the body moves. So let's translate. That means your body would be considered a chatz mahalach. Sefertim kveger, the amai, mahani nosin get al reisha. What would happen if you dropped the get on the Isha's head? She's a mahalach, she's moving. Sefertim kveger, if you were to drop the get on the Isha's head, according to Tosfos, it shouldn't be good. That's a chatz mahalach. Now, who told him Kiveger it is good? Maybe an Echlamit. Maybe if you put the get on the Isha's head, it's no good. Who told him Kiveger otherwise? Is there a Mishnah somewhere? I said if you put the get on the Isha's head, she's Megareshes. But that's what Kiyegas Kasha.
Why would that be good? It's Mishtam Eris.
But it's not. It's still Mahalachas.
Yeah, so what's the concern of Mahalachas?
According to Tosfos, the mere fact that it's moving...
That something could move is...
That's right. It's not Doim et HaChatzer.
Where he gets that from.
Well, Tosfos learned it from the Drasha.
So the body moves.
Right, because Tosfos says, one second, let's look at Chatzer. Does your Chatzer go anywhere? Your backyard doesn't move anywhere.
If I do it to an Isha while I'm walking on the street.
Well, I'm walking?
I'm walking, she's walking. I said, by the way, here's your get.
So, where'd you put the get? Oh, if you put the get in her hand, oh. Well, according to Tosfos, if you put the get in her hand, that's yad. Her yad's never moving.
So maybe Rosha is also yad.
Good. We're going to get to that in a second. We're going to see.
What's her have to do with this?
What do you mean, what's Chatzer?
But on her head is hers.
Oh, we'll get there. That's the answer. Good.
And what's Pshat in general? How do you give a Nasim Biyado?
What?
According to this.
You have to tie
her. How do you ever give her hand? Her hand could be moving.
No, because again.
Not according to Tais, that it's the same. But according to the other Rishonim, how do you ever give a Nasim Biyado?
No, because your hand is always Mishtam, according to Rashi. According to Rashi, the Chassan is Mishtam. My hand is Mishtam. I'm always watching my hand.
So I'm watching my basket at the time that I give it to her. What's the shaila?
According to Rashi,
chayra. That's what.
That's the achrayim say according to Rashi.
I give it to her, the
that's the way that achrayim say it in Rashi. Yeah, we need to talk more about chatzim mishtameres, but that's what they say according to Rashi.
And in general, I don't understand how does it work by vinasim biado.
Right. What's the problem?
You give it to her hands. In other words, according to those Rishonim, in other words, that it's not moving. That's fine.
Right.
But according to the other
because it's mishtameres. You yell these mishtameres. You watch your hand. You're in control of your hand. No one else is controlling your hand.
What about
a katana? Yeah, that might be a problem. That she's not mishtameres l'daita. Yeah, I think we talked about this once.
You how it works. To her to her father by katana?
Yeah, no, by katana, that's a machoikis. Vihimikabalan, I forgot how it goes again. We talked about it. Gemara and Kedusha the second barak. Yeah, it's more complicated. But that's what Kivega's first kasha. I'm not sure. We're going to have to wait. I did Mahalachas before I did Mishtamer, so we're going to have to wait till we get to Mishtamer. Okay, maybe I should have done it the other way around. I don't know. But okay. But Blined will have to talk about Mishtamer. So this is Rabbi Kvega's first kasha. Now, I see everyone agrees that this first kasha we can answer very simply with Olam Nishateretz, that when you put the get on the Isha's head, what type of kinyan is that? Is that biyodo or that's chatzer? We know there's something kinyan called kinyan chatzer. Kinyan chatzer means we extend the hand to be beyond that. When you put the get in her backyard, the only reason why that's kain is because her backyard is called the chatzah. Why would you drop the get on her stomach? Is that the pshat? Is that v'nasim biyadi on the simplest version? Or that's an extended version of chatzah? So Kvegan is kashas clearly assumed that when you put the get on her body, that's not biyadi. Biyadi is biyadi. Any other part of her body is going to be the extension of chatzah and has to have the rules of kinyan chatzah. Well, we would have answered to Kvegas Kasha, and the Stipler writes this, and Dov Pivarsky writes this. A lot of Achareim say this. I think it's very poshut. That no, Tosfos will tell you that's not the longest. When you put the get on her body, that's Yoda. Yoda means her hand or her body. You want to extend her backyard and her basket, her car, that already needs Xer Sakasa for. Which is a very lumdish machloikis Achareim. How do you learn what's included in Yoda? According to Kvegas, Yoda means Yoda. Nothing more, nothing less.
She's sleeping.
What?
She's sleeping.
No, if she's sleeping, it's no good then.
Does anyone hold Dalai Lamas?
Because that we're going to have to talk about. The Dalai Lamas might be a new firm version of a kinyan, however that works. But according to Kvega, it's very clear that if you put the get on her body, that's not called the Nasim Biyada. Because if it would be called the Nasim Biyada, Kvega's kasha is not a kasha. Clearly, Kvega understood that when you put the get on her body any place besides her yad, that's already coming on to kinyan chatzah.
So that's one step removed. I would say that she could have a to be Mekabal again.
Yeah.
She can't get it on her head or on her body.
No, she can't. She doesn't get it al yada. That's not a fulfillment of the nasam biyada. When the Torah put it in her hand, it means put it into her hand.
Right. She's saying if you put it on the stomach or the head,
that's not biyada. That's
right,
an. That's
maybe chatzir. Right. Has a problem.
That's right. Right. That's right. Exactly. Then you fall into a new category called chatzir. Chatzir has rules. While Tosfos would answer to Bikidei's kasha, what are you talking about? That's not true. When you put the get on her body, that's putting it biyada. We'll see. The stipler come out says it first. That's one kasha of Kivega. That's interesting. If David Pivarsky thinks a different epshat, he says 1 second. When you learn Tosfos. So Tosfos talks about the body and the hand. What part of the body is the moving component? So we think the body, you know, everything except for the hand. So David Pivarsky says in number 10, he says, no. Hari harosh gam ken ein mahalach, el rak ha-raglayim halchem. I'll give you the same answer. Your head's also not moving. Why is your head any more moving? Your head is like your hands. Vim ken hari harosh aminami kahayad. Choshem monach v'shabi yol benazin ger. I'll roish the ish. It's an interesting thing. You never think about it. When you read Tosfos, you right away assume it's body versus hands. Says Rabbi Pivarsky, why is it body versus hands? Why don't we put head in the equation also? Maybe the only part of your body that's really moving is your feet. So if you put the get on her foot, that would be a problem of chatzim alachas. If you put the get on her shoulder, you have to make sure it doesn't fall off, whatever it may be. That's also good later on. If you put a get in the way where it's there for a second and falls out, whatever. So then according to that would be considered meinich naidi. It's interesting. Pshat had to answer up Kvega's kasha. Kvega has a second kasha, which Rishonim ask already. He says, 1 second. According to the way Taisa learns the sugya, what comes out? Your hand is never moving. Your hand is considered a chatzar biyushuv. It's not a chatzar malachas. So Ferek Mikvega, one second. He says, I don't understand. Gam, amai benosin get biyaravdo mikri chatzar malachas. Let's go back to our Gemara. You put the get in the hand. What does it say in the Mishnah? You put the brisa. You put the get in the hand of an eved. So our Gemara, that's a chatzar malachas. Why is it a chatzar malachas? Hands don't move. You Taisa told me hands don't move. Hands are always placed. They're always munach. So if hands are always munach, so if I put the get in the yad of the eved, that's what it says. Biyad avdoi. Why is that a problem? The hand's not moving. You just told me hands don't move.
How do you get off the ground?
What do you mean?
You're talking about yad of Isha directly.
No. How but why?
The Isha is itself. It's not the yad.
But you told me that the eved is considered a mahalach. Why is the eved mahalach? What part
he
of
walks,
right. He walks, but his hand doesn't walk. That's what Taisa just told me 2 lines earlier, that hands never move. So ask him, if hands don't move and they're always considered placed, so we look at this evidence if he's not moving. Look at this evidence like the boat. This evidence should be like a boat. Boat, we said, is okay. So why is this any different? That's Rebbe Kivega's kasha. So Rebbe Kivega comes with a whole new mahalach in the sugya. So Rebbe Kivega, el akoch diyad v'agov chad. No. We'll throw this whole pshat out. Hand and guf, they're all one and three. Elo darmina ma yodosh eina mahalach. What does it mean when it says that your hand doesn't move? Hainu de'ede mahalach mehakoine. When we say that a hand doesn't move, it doesn't mean a hand. It means a hand never moves away from its buyer. You can't separate the hand from the koine. They don't split. You can't do that. The b'chol makim shehi mahalach sham hu hakoine. Wherever my hand will be, that's where I will be. You can't split the two things. Ma she'enkin chatzid mahalach is mehakoine. So the chesaron over here says of kivegi is that if you can split the two things, if you can split the ability to be koine with the koine, that's a problem. Because look at your property. Your property is, again, it's interesting because your property is not always connected to you. You can walk away from your property. But your yad, says Reb Kveger, your yad never detaches from you. Wherever your yad will be, you will be. Wherever you'll be, your yad will be. That's the definition of a chotzer, that's kaine. Memelos, Reb Kveger, a chotzer malachas, you don't have that. Because the chotzer can move away from you. Now, you can move away from your chotzer also. All right? We don't stay a whole day long around our backyards. But it's the reversal. You can't have it moving away from you. You can move away from it, but it can't move away from you. So if you have a scenario where your chotzer moves away from you, Zogtim Kveger, that's already chasarin and chotzer mahalach. Yeah.
Could even another answer that even it's so far, Eino Hanami is a chotzer that's not mahalachas, but it's not a chotzer mishamer. So everyone could go wherever he wants.
Right, but
you can get rid of that. So you say, yeah, fine. It's not
right. I mean, when the Gemara has the kasha that it's mahalachas, it really meant it's not mishamers. That was the Gemara's kasha. Right. The Gemara doesn't sound like the Gemara says there's no chesaron called mahalachas. Okay, that's the way Kivega learns. So we mentioned already the stipler, that the stipler comes up with the following insight. The stipler says this idea of mahalachas is only chesaron when you're talking about something that's called kinyan chatzar. Because with the way the Torah is set up kinyan chatzar, the Torah says kinyan chatzar has to be done to yad. Now yad, Zotib Kivega, yad we don't care about. Yad is kinyan independently. You put something into your yad is kinyan. Your body is kinyan no matter what, even if it's on the move. But when you're talking about shlich, when you're talking about chatzar, that's a derivative from yad, then it has to have the rules that it can't be mahalach. So therefore, Zok the stipler, that's the answer to Kivegas Kasha. Kivegas Kasha was what happens when you put it on her rosh. That's when you're being kainah with body, with kinyan yad, there's no problem of moving. Moving's only a problem with those things that are derivative of chatzar, and the chatzar has to have X and Y rules. So learned the stipler, pshat, and Kivegas. Now, the stipler himself is bothered with the Kasha. He says, according to Kivegas, what happens when you're on the boat with the ship? When you're on the boat with the ship, so you're connected to the thing. You learn, Kvega learned the whole chesaron chatzar malachas, you can't be separated. I'm not separated. I'm standing on the boat. I'm standing with my boat. What's the problem? So he said, what are you talking about? Because you can jump off. You're not physically connected to the boat. A human being, what? You can leave the chatzar, but... Right, I guess. Right, I guess the boat is, could go away. The boat can drive away. Right? It doesn't have to stay...
Away.
You're saying that type of the same way you can walk away from your chatzar.
Yeah.
Yeah, here. I would have assumed because of orders that the boat can move with or without you. You know, you're not integral.
You're going with it.
You could. But you're not directly. You're not physically connected to the chatzar. Yeah. To your yad, you are, right? You can't.
To your
chatzar, you're not, right. So that's what the stipler talks about. Also, at Akasha on a Kivega. Okay. Now, in the cheshbonis of the Gemara over here, it's a little off our sugya, but we'll do it anyways, because that's what we do here. There's some cheshbonis that you need to just push it, speak out over here, of how things are working. Lamashal. The Rashi Bamitzi asks the kasha that some people already pointed out. They said, 1 second. The whole chesaron over here is because you keep on telling me the chatzar is metam yad. It has to be daimel yad, it has to be like a yad, 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 yad. Who said chatzar is metam yad? Chatz mitam yad, chatz mitam shlichus. So if you hold chatz mitam shlichus, so what's this whole conversation of chatz malachus? So the Rashba asks, number 12, the Rashba Mitzi asks, says, Tamili, while chatz mitam shlichus, it's rabbi. Chatz works because of shlichus. Kedi isa, the kamon, chen pasuk arif, v'shliach honayit, shlichus not going anywhere, right? Shlichus, I'm sorry, v'shliach it moves. So what's the problem with chatz malachus? You keep on telling me chatz malachus is no good because it's doimit the yad. Why does it be doimit the yad? Let it be shlichus. Shlichus move all the time. So the Rashba says, one second, it depends what type of chatzah we're talking about. Chatzah di'isha is mitamiyat, that we spoke about. Chatzah di'isha is mitamiyat. So our Gemara is still shver, because chatzah di'isha is mitamiyat without a question. The Gemara ba mitziyah is a problem. The Gemara ba mitziyah wasn't talking about chatzah di'isha, it was talking about chatzah demamidus. Chatzah demamidus can work al shlichus. So if it can work al shlichus, what's the big problem of chatzah mahalachas? So the Ritva over there answers, I don't really understand that, I'll repeat the words. The Ritva says that even if a shliach goes, he's moving, but he's moving because of you. So therefore, even when we talk about chatzah mitam shlichus, there's still an element of moving for the sake of moving on your own. So, but again, at the end of the day, a shliach is a moving. Right, you're still moving on your own. You know, enech nami. I'm not moving because you told me to move. Yeah.
So it's like you're moving.
Yeah, that's something we need to talk about. So Reb Chaim, in the same piece we talked about, Reb Chaim talks about this kasha as well. I decided not to get into it today. Maybe we'll have to talk about it a different time. How Reb Chaim answers up this kasha. But Reb Bel Pervarsky says that he has a push to the teretz. It should be a riot to Rashi. This whole talk about chatz mitam yad is only in Tosfos' world. Tosfos who set up the sugya that it's chatz mitam yad, because Tosfos said the reason why chatz malach doesn't work, because it's not doimit yad. That's Tosfos' world. Says with Beryl Pavarsky, in Rashi's world, how does chatzah work? Ein mishtameres. Ein mishtameres is a problem across all lines of chatzah, whether it's mitam yad or whether it's mitam shlichus. So he says, according to Rashi, this is b'chal not a kasha. This kasha of the Rishonim about why is it a chatzah malachas would only be a kasha if you hold like Tosfos, and not a kasha if you hold like Rashi. That's the way he wants to say the sugya. The Rakhoponim, what's negated to us is that chatzah malachas only presents a problem according to Rashi, the chesaron is because it's ein mishtameres. At least the one Rashi. According to Tosfos, the chesaron of chatzah malachas is that it's not connected. There's more Torah we can talk about, but the shaila was, what did the Gemara think is the difference by a boat? The Gemara asks by a boat. The Gemara says, El Me'ata, what do you do with a boat? So Gedaliah Finkel talks about, he says, I don't understand. How did the Gemara understand the psychology of a boat, or the science of a boat? Now, haven't the Gemara thought that boats are really moving? And the Gemara didn't know this idea that boats are considered placed in the water is moving? Or the Gemara knew afal pekin? And maybe even in Lomnus, I don't look like the boat's moving, but Afalpikin, that's also called the Chatzim Halachas. What was the Shaka Batai of the Gemara? Was the Shaka Batai of the Gemara when the Gemara had a kasha from a boat, and the Gemara answered, boats are not moving. So that was an Einfall, a new idea, and how to understand the science of boats, that boats are really not moving objects, the water moves, which till now we thought that's not the way it works. Or the Gemara knew always, that's the Lomnus of boats. But the Gemara thought, Afalpikin, it shouldn't matter. Who cares? Even if that's the Lomnus, at the end of the day, it's moving. So if it's moving, it should be a problem. So on that, the Gemara answers, no, that's not a problem. He classed such a chakir in how to learn the Gemara. The problem with all this is that in any pshat you're going to learn, it's still shver. How do you understand the svara of Meinich Naichi? Or even how do you understand the svara of Kafas? What does it help that you're tied up? Right? The fact that you're tied up, so therefore you're not moving. But you could move. You could move. You'll be able to move. Shortly, you'll be able to move. You'll be able to get up. When you get on time, you'll be able to move.
You're not moving. You can't move. You have to get.
But so is Yashin. When you're sleeping, you're also not moving, right? This is where I have a difficult time understanding.
Yeah, the sleeping person naturally is going to wake up eventually, unless they die.
I guess
he's tied up. He'll just gonna stay tied up until somebody
unties him, or he gets it untied.
Or they sleepwalk.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. But what we need from the sugya, this was really BMS, somewhat of an introduction to the sugya, is that we have to understand there's two mahalchim in understanding why chatz malach is no good. And it's really totally in this gemara in Bamitziah, where the gemara introduced us idea.
What? And someone comes and takes it. She's divorced already.
100%.
She loses it.
Correct. But it has to be that the chatz was her chatz in the first place.
For that split second.
So then why is Yashin, so what's the difference between Yashin and Kafas?
She's not cognizant. She's sleeping.
That we said is a different, that won't be a chatz malach's problem. That would be a different problem. But the Gemara sounds like that if you're sleeping, you can't be a chatzim alechas. Why? You're not moving. So
you get up.
Right, that's what the Rosh said. That since you could get up, I think that's what the Gemara is saying. But that to me is a little harder to understand. But that's what comes out over here from the sugya of chatzim alechas.